I almost feel 10 pounds lighter, which, you know, the hard thing about dancing in the Spirit is I don't do anything else all week. So when you break out like that, the Spirit of God, you know, just you break out, you just go, my gosh, this is hard. You know, I should do something during the week. Right, Judy? Yes, dear. Woo. Oh, my goodness. You know, in the day, back in the day of refreshing or revival, as we called it, you know, we used to do something called soaking. You know, remember soaking? How many remember soaking? And in a time like that, you know, everybody would get on the floor, you know. And, I mean, can you believe it? I mean, everybody just would get out of their seats and lay on the floor. And it was very frustrating to a pastor because you couldn't get anybody to do anything, you know, because, you know, we're kind of wired to do stuff. And you know, I'm like, okay, enough, you know, enough soaking. But they just love, we had soaking sessions and where we just went and turned on music and people came in and laid on the floor. I mean, does this sound strange to you? You know, and I mean, the world does it and they call it, you know, other stuff, but when we do it, it's weird, you know, but they came in and this laid on the floor, carpet time. You need more carpet time. You know, don't get up, you know, more, Lord, more. And, you know, it changed people's lives. It really did. And it was just a fun time. Turn in your Bibles this morning to, Psalm 16. You know, we're talking about His presence. We love His presence. And without His presence, I mean, we know what Moses said. I'm not going. I don't know if we'll get there, but to that scripture, but he says, I mean, without your presence, I'm not doing this. You know, I can't do this. How many know that? I mean, we can't do it on our own. I mean, we're just incapable of doing this on our own. You know, we can play a game and look like we're doing good, but, you know, inside we're dying and hurting, you know, and we need God. I see a world like that out there just trying to do it on their own, and they don't need to. You know, in Psalm 16, in chapter 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, because at my right hand, He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. So it's, the Lord is omnipresent. How many know that? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's all around us, you know. And He's always present. But the awareness of His presence. You know, the awareness, being aware that He is present. Not just in this corporate setting, which is just glorious, you know, just wonderful. But when we're, you know, doing the stuff all week. An awareness of His presence. How many, you know, Brother Lawrence used to call it practicing the presence of Jesus, you know. He wrote a little book. It's a little book by Brother Lawrence. He's a monk, you know. And he said he was more aware of God's presence in the kitchen than he was at the prayer meeting. Somehow he just sensed God just being with him all the time, you know, that He's got your back. I mean, there's times when He just surprises me with His presence. Just surprises me. And when I sense that love, the awareness. And love is the first awareness. That's the first step in awareness, is to know your love. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. That's why I hammer that all the time. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. It's not He loves you, He loves you not. He loves you, He loves you not. He loves you. When you're aware of someone's love, when I'm aware of Judy's love, she doesn't have to be present for me to know that she loves me. She loves me. She loves me. I don't have to be good all the time, okay, because I'm not, you know, to know that she loves me. That she loves me. It's being aware. I carry her in my heart. I carry that love in my heart. When I'm away, I was away all last week, you know, and I was aware of her love, you know. And this awareness, that's the awareness of His presence. And if you don't know that He loves you, if you don't know that you know that you know that there's a love, a greater love, then you'll feel abandoned. You'll feel alone. You'll feel like you're doing this on your own. But you're not. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. This gives us strength. This gives us the strength we need. That awareness, knowing you are loved, is the first step in this awareness. And what does it bring? It says, I have set the Lord because he has, therefore my heart is glad. Ah, there's the little happy dance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, it brings joy in the midst of all your circumstances because what? That's the result of knowing you're loved. The result of knowing you're loved is joy, is gladness. It just makes me happy. Don't you love to be loved? Oh, I love to be loved by you. Is that a song? You know, I love to be loved by you. All the love songs that are out there, you know. More, we need more love songs, don't we? More love songs. Oh, bring forth more love songs from Megan. More love songs, Lord. More, give her more love songs. Give her more love songs. Oh, we need to have love songs sung over us. You know, somebody can prophesy over you. I can prophesy over Doug right now. I saw him walking across the stage with his Bible, okay? And God said, he's a gangsta. In Jesus. I mean, he is a dangerous man. He looked like a dangerous man with that Bible. His collar up, you know, and he's carrying that Bible. You're going to be a dangerous man. I'm telling you, in the days to come, for the Lord, as you get into the Word, I'm telling you, you're a dangerous man with that Word. The Word makes you dangerous. I mean, you're thinking about buying a gun? That's it. That's your weapon. I mean, you know, that's really... Now, why did I do that? I forgot why I did that. Oh, anyway. But, so, I mean, we got to know we're loved. You know, we got to prophesy to people, encouragement. We got to know that we're loved and should bring us joy, joy. Prophecy should bring us joy and gladness. For it says, therefore, my heart is glad. My heart is glad. And my glory rejoices. Your gladness is your glory. Do you know that? What does glory look like? Hallelujah. I mean, it's a smile. It's a look on your face, you know. Everybody knows when you're mad, you look mad. And sometimes in the house, there's an atmosphere when you're mad, isn't there? Well, there's a glad atmosphere too, you know. An atmosphere in the house of gladness. We had it this morning. Of joy. That's what we had. An atmosphere of rejoicing and gladness. It says, so my flesh also will rest in hope. It will rest in hope. So you have hope. And God's always trying to read us. I have to go back to Psalm 23 because I preached on Psalm 23 a couple weeks ago. I was so taken by Psalm 23 that I use at funerals all the time. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. So he's always leading us to hope and restoration. Always. The good shepherd is always leading us to rest and hope. Always. Always. And you know what's going to irritate religious people? Your joy. Your gladness. I mean, we should be the happiest people on earth. Really. But your happiness, your joy, your positive attitude, okay, in this atmosphere. You know what the atmosphere is like all week? Come on. The government shut down, you know, impending doom. The sky is falling. I mean, it looks like it's coming apart. If I go there, you know, I may never return. My social security check will not come. I mean, yikes. I mean, it's not going to be there for you because I'm using it up. You know, all this bad news, you know. I mean, what did he do? He set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's what it says in Psalm 23. He's setting the table. I don't care what the... I know, I don't want to say that. I'm concerned. Like every other American, okay? But he has a better agenda for us. He has a bigger agenda, okay? He brings us to the banqueting table and his banner over us is love. It's hope. It's joy. It's troubling to watch this. But somehow it's going to be better. I don't know how, but it's going to be better for us. It is. It's going to be much better. It says, my flesh will rest in hope. So there's a rest for the people of God. He brings us. He's always calling us to that intimacy, to that rest in Him. It says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. It says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. I'm going to use it this way this morning. You're not going to leave me in darkness. Okay? I'm not going to, I don't know nothing about hell. Okay? That's kind of good news. I mean, I just know nothing about hell. I don't understand the whole thing about hell. I don't know what hell's going to be like. Everybody, you know, I want to be there because all my friends will be there. How many heard that one? You know what I mean? I'm like, whoa, that's weird. And you've heard people say that, you know, and I have no idea. But for right now, I'm telling you, He's not going to leave your soul in darkness. In the darkness, how many know that? How many have experienced that? That they've gone through that valley of the shadow of death, but He doesn't leave us there. He never leaves us or forsake us. He never leaves us there. And people in this church can testify as there's light at the end of the tunnel, that they go through that valley and they come out into rejoicing, into joy, into hope, into rest, into confidence with the Lord. And here's the proof of it right now. He's talking about Jesus. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. So the resurrection, He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His Holy One, is proof, hallelujah, that that there is no death. There is no death. Did He raise from the dead? Yes. Did he go into hell for us? Yes, I believe He did. Went into hell. And did something there that I don't understand either. But I mean, for us, He went there. And He was rose again on the third day. So He will not leave us. He proved to us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. You will show me the path out of this mess. That's exactly what He does. He shows us the pathway to joy, gladness, happiness. He shows us that there's hope, there's rest at the end. And that's rejoicing. His presence there. This is he says, this is a sovereign setting that we're in this morning. We're in a sovereign setting, and it's a sacred space to understand and be encouraged that there's hope. That there's hope. If you came this morning and you felt hopeless, that you have struggles with what's going on in your family, in your country, in your community, there's hope. He's saying there's hope. There's rejoicing. Because in your presence, woohoo, hallelujah. Oh, bring the band back. Bring the band back, you know. In your presence is what? Fullness. Woo! Fullness. I love overflowing. Overflowing. Fullness of joy. Joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. Oh, we can be happy. We can be happy in church. It doesn't have to be, you know, three hymns and a, you know, homily or three, you know, I mean, it can be rejoicing. We can laugh. We can dance. We can see what God wants us to do. We can be healed. We can be set free. And then we can carry this fullness. That's why it's fullness. We can carry it to overflowing to those outside this place. Your positive energy, your positive influence. You rest in hope. We come out of the darkness. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed to come out of this dark place. Look in Exodus 33. It's that talk that Moses had with God. That talk that Moses had with God about I'm not going without you. We can't do this without Him. And we want more of Him. And that's why we're in this hour, we want to become this church of His presence. This carries His presence to overflowing in our hearts. In verse 13, it says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, favor, that's the word favor. I mean, he's kind of questioning. I mean, if it is, we know that we have grace. I am fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God. And that's what kind of church we need. We need a church that is fully persuaded that nothing will separate them from the love of God. A church that is fully persuaded that nothing will separate them from the love of God will be an unstoppable church. It's not, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. He loves me, he loves me not. I am fully persuaded that nothing, nothing will separate me from the love of God. Not principalities, not powers, not rulers of darkness, not all that stuff that Paul writes about. I mean, you read it for yourself. I am fully persuaded. I'm absolutely confident. I'm not cocky. I am confident in his love. Took me a while to get here. Now, I was in and I was out. I was in and out. I was up and I was down. But now I'm full. I'm not going back. I'm fully persuaded of his favor. Right, Bob? Fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded? Absolutely confident. Absolutely confident that he loves me. That he loves me. Show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider the nation and your people. And he said, my presence. Woo-hoo. My presence. Here's the promise. My presence will go with you and it will give you rest. Whew. I'm telling you, that's what I'm here to tell you about this morning. Absolute confidence that his presence will bring hope and rest to your soul. If you're fearful and if you're, you know, all that other stuff. If you're fearful and, you know, have anxiety and all that stuff, I'm telling you, you got to know. You got to know that you know that you know that he's with you. He's with you. He goes with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, and it makes religious people mad because they think you got to earn it. Whew. They think you gotta earn it somehow. You don't earn it. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. His presence. We don't have to work it up. It's here. But there's an awareness. Like this morning, how many are aware of his presence? There's an awareness. And there's an awareness in a corporate setting, but we also, there's an awareness in a personal setting. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not bring me up here. I can't do this. I can't be a dad. I can't be, you know, a friend. I can't, without the presence of God, I can't do it. I'll be a poor, poor friend, a poor father without the presence of God. For how then will I know that your people and I have found grace in you, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people, I from all the people on the face of the earth. World agenda. Country agenda, USA's agenda, you are separate. God has a bigger agenda. How many believe that? I'm not saying I'm not concerned, but I'm not overly concerned. I can get overly concerned if I dwell on the wrong thing. I'm prone that way. My flesh is prone that way to worry. My flesh is prone to worry about all these little details. You know, like I said, you ever argue about something that didn't happen with your spouse? Come on. You argued about the kids going somewhere and then they came down and said, we're not going. And we just got in a fight about it. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you just kind of rest. You got to just kind of kick back a little bit. You got to watch things unfold. You can't the news media overblows everything and we can't let that be the thing that drives us. This is what drives us. This is what causes us rest. This is it right here. It says right there, you are separate. You are separate. Wow, how many? I'm separated. You are separate. You're his chosen people. You're separate from the whole system. There's a whole other system that we're part of. Amen? Woo! I'm telling you, this is the good news. This is the good news. This is what you're separate from the face of the earth. And look at what does it cause? Look in Leviticus 9. Leviticus 9. Verse 22, and then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people and blessed them. I'm doing it this morning. We're blessing you. We're blessing you with the word of God and the truth and this good news. You're separate unto God who loves you. We bless you. and came down from the offering, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting, a corporate setting, and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared on all the people. Whew, I can see it on your face. I can see it on your face. Tim, I can see it on your face, the glory of the Lord. You are glorious. I'm telling you, you are so glorious. You guys are so glorious. And this guy, I mean, sometimes he's just a little too bright, you know what I mean? I mean, glorious, glorious, glorious people. It says, and then the glory of the Lord appeared on all the people. Joy, joy in the house. And fire came down. We sang about it this morning. Fire from the Lord and consume the burnt offering and the fat on the altar where all the people saw it. And they shouted, hallelujah. Come on, shout to the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Did you hear those kids shouting this morning? Woo. And they shouted and fell on their face. The unexpected happens when the presence of the Lord, when the presence of the Lord comes into a place. I mean, you can hardly stand. I mean, you could hardly stand. I mean, how many people have been slain in the spirit? Whew, man, been overpowered by the presence of God. You know, how many remember Rodney Howard Brown? You know, the laughing revival guy. I was in his meeting in Toledo, and there was hundreds of people there. There must have been, you know, 200 people in a prayer line, and he's a big guy, and he's coming down, and he goes, Phil, Phil, Phil. And by the time I got to him, I was laying on the floor. He didn't even get to me. The power of God. Phil, Phil, Phil. Woo! More, Lord, more, Lord. I mean, it's glorious. It is so glorious. I was in a meeting with, I forget his guy's name, at this church, and he laid his hand on me, and I fell and hit my head on the back of a chair so hard I couldn't believe it. Oh my gosh. I mean, just wild stuff happening. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? We just don't know what's going to happen when the Lord shows up. In Hebrews, we're going to end in the book of Hebrews. If I can find that, it's like, it's this hidden book of the Bible. You know, where is it? Tell me somebody who was raised in the church. Some good Christian person. Where does it come after? Thank you. Where's Timothy and Titus again? I told you, I'm not a theologian. I'm a Christian mystic, right? Hebrews. Gives me a lot of liberty. Thank you. How much more? Whew. Hebrews 9:14. How much more? I mean, they were offering the blood of bulls and goats. We have the cross. We have Jesus. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience. Oh, I want you to all walk out of here with clean consciences this morning. Clean, 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 clean. He's going to clean the house. Clean the house of fear. Oh, clean the house of fear. No fear. Fear, you got to go. You're not my friend. I mean, you got to say that to fear. When fear comes to you, you say, you're not my friend, fear. Leave. I mean, you got to speak to these things. Your mind will run rampant with you. You'll run rampant in this hour. And it might get worse, you know, with all the media. But you got to say, fear, steady, hold, hold, hold. I mean, what are you going to do? Run for the hills? I mean, you got to be steady. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your consciousness from dead works? Whew, thank you. Thank you. It's not about works of righteousness that you've done. It's by his grace that he has saved us. That's why we're in a revival of his grace. People need to understand the grace of God, the favor of God. I have found favor in your... I am God's favorite. You know that? I am God's favorite. I may not be your favorite. I may be irritating you. But I'm telling you what, I am God's favorite. And you are God's favorite. For this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant. A new deal. You got a brand new deal. A brand new deal by means of death for the redemption and transgression under the first covenant. Those who are called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. We got it all. Amen. I'm telling you. Fear, you have to go. Sickness, you have to go. Anger, hurt, you have to go. You know what turned the prodigal son around? When he understood the love of his father. That's what's going to turn this generation around. When they understand this love. When they understand this love, I'm telling you, it's going to bring them in. That's why this revival of grace, understanding His grace, that He redeemed the whole world unto Himself. When they get that, when we preach that in a way with glory, and when we preach that in a way that they get it, they're going to come in. They won't be able to resist it because there's no other hope. So Heavenly Father, we just come together this morning praising You and thanking You for what You're doing, Lord God. What You're doing right in this house. In this house that You have opened a banqueting table for us, Lord. An awareness. It's always been there, Lord. It's always been there. But You're just expanding our revelation of Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your love in this hour. Lord, we've come this far. And now we want more. We know there's more. We realize there's more. And Lord, we just step into that place of goodness and grace and mercy and Your love in a way like never before. We want to abandon ourselves and run into Your everlasting arms, Lord God. And cry, Abba. Just cry, Abba, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father God. Amen.